God forbid I rip another guy in radio's name for being confusing. Unlike a certain national radio host who my Twitter followers informed me last week that you guys were having issues with what the hell my name was all about. So turnabout's fair play.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just didn't understand. Like, you were Carmichael for a while, then you were just Dave, and there was, like, some, like, weirdness surrounding why the Carmichael was gone. And, like, we were trying to figure it out. We're like, what is the issue here? But it was just sort of funny that, like, you know, now you're just Dave in the morning.
Yes.
Like, it's just as simple as that. Hey, wake up and listen to Dave, because he's there. You know, it's, like, kind of cool.
I don't know if they explained it to you, but I used to be a caller. Carmichael's a suburb of Sacramento. I was Dave and Carmichael. It switched to Carmichael Dave when I got in radio. It's like it'd be like Brian and Weehawken, and now he's Weehawken Brian. So
I got you. Yeah. Okay, all right. No, that makes a hell of a lot more sense. At least you weren't like a Fallujah Dave. That would be a little bit harder to swallow.
For what it's worth, man, I love good stories from good people that work their ass off, and I have followed your career for a while, being my lead in. Proud as hell of you. Good for you, and congratulations not only to you for your career move, but also to the family move that, dare I say, is going to be even more life-altering than working with Boomer. Good for you, man. That's an awesome, awesome gig you got, and you deserve it.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot to me, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, you take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, brother. That is Greg Giannotti. He is formerly of Geo and Jones for you early, early listeners. And starting Tuesday will be the second part of the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN. And he's a good dude. We're way late for a break. We got to get to Sean Salisbury next. We're back in four on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. That's Nate Diaz on whether or not Floyd Mayweather would beat Conor McGregor in boxing. Turned out he did. And before that, Charles Barkley saying, for the record, vegetables suck. Here's a Celebrity Jeopardy with people, obviously, who are not sports fans. Yeah, they didn't know it was Cam Newton joining us right now. You heard his voice about a half an hour ago on this station, but it was a recorded version of Sean Salisbury's. We're playing some of the best of 2017. And as voted on by you, the listener, singular, the one listener, the perhaps best moment of 2017 was Sean Salisbury using his acting chops. As he said, he once played a gay man in a movie, using those same acting chops to absolutely pull the greatest prank ever on poor Katie Christensen on her final day. And the fake argument between myself and Sean, joining us right now, a guy I can never argue with. It is the one, the only, Sean Unfiltered on Twitter, Sean Salisbury. Hello, Sean.
What's going on? Post-Merry Christmas, happy holidays. I'm excited for the new year. It's been a great 2017, and that was a fun prank. Honored if that's the number one thing that people considered. I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It was fun.
What was the last movie you saw, Sean?
Let's see, Downsizing. Oh, the Getty movie, J. Paul Getty.
Okay. Have you seen the new Star Wars movie?
No, and the only reason why I haven't is when it comes to those, people are so psychotic about sitting in line. Now, yeah. You know how I love movies, man. Yeah. We talked about it. But I don't need to see opening night if it means getting a lawn chair 16 hours before the show starts. I don't read reviews on it. I won't listen to anybody tell me about a movie like this movie about, well, what goes on and that. I won't pay attention to any of it because I don't want to hear about it. I'll go see it more than likely this week coming up, quite possibly New Year's Eve. Maybe go check it out early because I think New Year's Eve's so overrated when it comes to the outdoor bar. It's amateur hour for me, overrated holiday. I love ringing in the new year, but I don't love all the nonsense that goes with it. So I'm going to go to a movie. That will probably be the one, but I'm not a opening. I'd love to go to opening night if it was just going to be normal, but I'm not willing to fight people as long as they don't tell me about it. But I'm jacked up to see it because I like the Star Wars series, you know, the whole thing. But I have not seen that yet, which is normally not like me.
Have you seen Lady Bird?
No, but I have heard, and the only reason why I haven't seen, like I said, I've seen a handful of movies. The only reason I haven't seen as many as I would normally is the holidays because of the schedule,
yeah.
Kids, and I went, you know, had rotator cuff shoulder surgery. So I've been through that, but I've got some to catch up on. But I read and have heard that movie's spectacular.
It's all about Sacramento. That is made by, directed by someone from Sacramento, and it's about her growing up. And so, you know, here, we get a lot of movies made about life in Sacramento.
Sacktown, so, yeah, but it'll be fun, man. But I've heard it's good, so I'm anxious to see it. I like versatility. Is it an indie film, or is it a, it's in the theaters, right? It's not an indie theater.
It is in the theaters. I don't know who produced it, but it is in the theaters.
Okay, cool.
Let's get into this now. You and I have talked in the past about the most important position in all of major sports is being a quarterback in the NFL. And, and listen, maybe you're biased, maybe you're not, but because you played the spot, but you're 100% correct in my opinion. When you see Sean, Jimmy Garoppolo go in to a 1-9 San Francisco team and not only reel off wins, but beat the Titans, who are in the playoff hunt, drop 44 on the Jacksonville Jaguars, the best defense in the NFL. I don't want to get too hyperbolic here, or hyperbolic, or whatever the hell the word is. But, Sean, I don't remember seeing...
Hyperbolic.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't remember seeing anything like this before.
He has done it right now. And I've spent a lot of time. I don't know how to do much well. I do know how to break this position down well. I do. I mean, we're wrong, you know. Sometimes we'll pick a guy and say, man, he's going to be a good player, and he's not. But I've watched, I think, every throw Garoppolo's made in the regular season from the Patriots to now. Matter of fact, I don't think I know I have. Everyone. Let me tell you what he does. And I said this, and the only reason, it's like a gambler says, yeah, I picked that game 3 months ago. I've been following him since he left school, and you heard all the off-season stuff and watched him in the bowl games and watched him throw. And there was something different about his release then. But you never know how it's going to turn out. So you say, okay, let's watch him. And then the six quarters he played in New England, and I watch him close. I mean, let me tell you, his mechanics, he's obviously was a great pupil because he watched Brady properly. He's been taught well, and he had 2 ears and 1 mouth and used them accordingly, and big eyes. He watched the most mechanically sound quarterback in the history of this game, whose mechanics don't break down under pressure. Matter of fact, they get better, meaning Brady, and he soaked it all in, where some guys – the frustration when you're not playing. I've been on teams, and I've known a high rank as a quarterback's drafted that you'd hear people say, oh, I'm not going to play because the veteran's playing, so falling asleep in meetings, not really learning mentally. So when their opportunity comes, they're behind, and then people start to question them, and they have to play out of their mind for 6 more games to get people to believe in him, why they drafted him in the first place. That wasn't Jimmy. What he's done, and then people could make the excuse for Jimmy, well, he's a Patriot. Of course you're on the Patriots. You're going to play well in 6 quarters. What he has is the things you can teach, he's got better at. Footwork is outstanding. The ball placement. Watch how quiet his hands are when he drops back. There's not a whole lot of movement. I always want, I use different phrases for my quarterbacks. I want an active, aggressive, violent lower body, and I want a quiet, very calm upper half. And he's got it. Active lower body and an extremely calm, not a whole lot of moving parts up ramps. So the ball's always loaded. He's always at good base, good balance, and good load. And I know this sounds like a lot of jargon, but just so you understand the teaching part of it and what you're looking at. It's not so much for me the statistics he's putting up. It's how he's getting there. I said a year ago, I said, the guy's played 6 quarters. I promise you, within 2 years, once he leaves New England, or if he's a starter, he'll be a top-10 quarterback before one season's done. He's because his mechanics are so sound. And if you watch how he goes through his progression, you can. If I put him up against a split screen against like Bortles or somebody who's struggling, even Kaiser, because both of them, Kaiser's played more than he has. You'd notice the difference in watching their head on a swivel. We watched him last week. He starts on the right, scans across the field, is quiet in the pocket, active but quiet. Isn't I call him creeper. Don't be a creeper. If nobody's there, don't creep towards the line of scrimmage. Stay there. Hold your water. And use your vision, you'll get that. And he's got this natural that you can't teach, built-in time clock that knows when it's time to bail. And he bailed, ran to his left, threw across his body, but squared his shoulders, and threw a touchdown pass. So it's the mechanics, Dave. He's so sound. And so this is not fake. And I'll tell you the one thing he's got, and you've heard me say this before. He's taken a bunch of, and I don't mean this disrespectful, but it's true, and it's fact. He's taken a bunch of, by NFL's talent standards on a roster, a bunch of quite frankly, ordinary players, and in about a month and a half and 5 weeks has made them fairly extraordinary. If Garoppolo was on this team at the start of the season, they'd be in the playoff hunt in the NFC West. Now, what I always say is, give me a quarterback that what, Dave, doesn't break down under pressure, that plays his best football when it's when everybody else is choking on their spit, that mechanically is sound, and that what, makes players elevate. Jimmy Garoppolo, quite frankly, I don't think they pump the brakes early. No, it's a, forget the stats. I don't care that he's going for 300. I care how he's getting there. This is real. This is not fake. Wait till you get him players. When you get him players, you're looking at a guy who is going to be, who's going to put a ring on a finger, and he's going to continue the long tradition that Steve, that Joe and Steve started, that the San Francisco 49ers in 10 years from now, we're going to be saying that it was one of the most, the one of the most legalized theft trades we've ever seen. Right now, Garoppolo would warrant minimum of two number ones and a starting player or another third number one as a quarterback. If the Patriots would have waited, they would have, they did Jimmy a favor, and he's with a great coach who knows how to coach quarterbacks. If they would have waited, he'd be worth – Julio Jones got two number ones and a switch, three number ones. Robert Griffin, the guy would warrant more than both of them. There you have it. He's going to be a great player.
Sean Salisbury breaking down the quarterback position as only he can do, joining us on The Drive. Sean, so you mentioned, and you said yourself, a lot of lingo, a lot of jargon in there and breaking down the spot. You know, let's look at it as a pie chart. So what percent of it is what you talked about, mechanics and all the ability that goes with it, and what percent of that pie are those, quote, intangibles, leadership in the huddle, on the sideline, the ability to inspire your teammates? How much of that does it make up in being a good NFL quarterback, and do you see that also in Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I see all of it. Now, I'm not in the locker room with him, but you have never heard anything other than positive things about his leadership skills. And when his own teammates say, man, we heard he was good, but his own teammates in San Francisco are saying, we didn't know he was this special. Use the word special. He's been there six weeks? Think about this. He's in a system completely different than Josh McDaniel. He didn't go to a training camp with the 49ers. He's been watching and studying film. He's a quick study. You can't operate an offense, especially if it's not loaded with players, be that efficient at doing it week after week and getting better every week, and not having a training camp of verbiage. It's completely different. So if you think about what he's had to apply, because you got to be able to react. So there's the intangibles, the stuff you can't put your finger on that you can't teach. He's obviously got. And as it gets going on, we're going to see more of it. We're going to see when it's playoff, because he can play free right now. They're not in anything. So the expectations of the team are, let's just see him get better. Now, you don't think that every throw he makes, he's holding the card. He's going to end up being like the second or third highest paid quarterback in the league, and he's going to have less than a season of starts, because look what he's creating by this performance. Or he's going to get franchised, be a top five. I mean, he holds every single card. But the mechanics, Dave, I don't like robotics. I'm a huge mechanics guy. I just am. They will sustain you more than a strong arm, and then mechanics meaning quick release. And you watch him. The quickest releases in football right now are, if you line them up, are Rodgers, Garoppolo, and Carr. I'm talking about when they load up and the ball, from the time they're loaded, and then meaning loaded, sitting in a pocket, ready to deliver, and by the time it gets out, there may not be anybody quicker than him. But watch him. The ball is up and out. It's not up, back, and out. You know, some people go loaded, back, up, and out. He is up and out. It's loaded, it's up and out. There's no wasted motion. So he's got the combination of everything. Now, are we putting him in a Hall of Fame? Hell no. Is he going to throw four picks in a game? Yeah, he sure is. And if it happens this week against the Rams, even though they're not playing their starters, people can say, yes, see. But I'm just telling you, watch how he gets there. It's not the fact that a CEO comes in and changes the company around in 6 months. You say, look at the board of directors loves him. But how did he get there? Well, he made this manager, and he believes in players, made this guy better, trusted his middle management. Boom. That's Garoppolo, man. And that's why I've felt for a long time he was going to be special. I'm not backing off it. Give him players, and the guy's going to go through the roof. The 49ers and Raiders and Carr will get better again. I'm telling you, the 49ers and Raiders, we're going to have one hell of a decade of two special players at quarterback. It's like Montana. I mean, I'm not comparing him to those guys. But you should be as excited as you've been in a long time for the future of quarterback play in the Bay Area?
I've gotten blowback this week and last week, last couple weeks, to be honest, talking about Garoppolo and being excited about him and talking about the Niners winning. There are fans that are saying, listen, that's great, but what's going to happen when teams are taking the Niners seriously and are scheming for Garoppolo and scouting for him? It's going to be a completely different ballgame.
They're already doing that.
Okay.
They're already doing that. No, you're exactly right. When they're in the, like I said earlier, in the playoff hunt days, of course they're going to. But don't you think they scheme for Brady?
Sure.
They scheme for Rivers. They scheme for Rodgers. You're going to have, hey, I haven't seen anybody play 16 perfect games. He's going to have his moments. But the key is that how I also judge a quarterback, it's not what you're doing when you're throwing for 400 yards and everything's great. It's when you're getting your ass handed to you and you're getting knocked in the mouth 8 times, you've been hit 15 times in your first 25 dropbacks, you're 7 out of 24, and you've thrown for 113 yards in the first half and 3 picks, and you're down a touchdown and a half or 17 points, and you come out in the third quarter, Brady in the Super Bowl, and you're down 28-3, and you win. You find ways to get it done. Of course they're going to. What else is there to scheme for in the 49ers right now? What else are you going to scheme for? You don't think Jacksonville scheme for Jimmy Garoppolo? He treated them like punks last week or 2 weeks, whenever it was. Of course. Well, who else are you scheming for? Goodwin? Yeah, but Goodwin's got to get somebody to throw him the ball. Look at the change from Beathard to Garoppolo. You know, and Beathard's going to be, he's okay. He's an okay player. But look at the difference in the believability. So you don't have to back off. Don't let anybody talk you off the, oh, pump the brakes on Garoppolo. No, don't pump them. Add some gas to it, brother. Add it to the V12. That's the guy can put. They're going to start scheming, and they'll shut him down once in a while. But great players do. Well, you know what they do? Then they adjust to that. And the one thing Garoppolo does that some young quarterbacks have no clue about, he doesn't wait till you're open to throw it. He throws you open. He makes throws. You say, where's that ball going? Boom. The guy runs through that. And certain guys have, there's just certain things, Dave, that us mere mortals don't have, and the immortals at the position do. And for an early start to a career, he's had one of the great early starts you'll ever see. I'm just telling you, with Kyle Shanahan and a 6-year commitment there, and now with Jimmy going to get a contract, when they build this, as long as Garoppolo's healthy, you're seeing the makings of a really special football player, because he's got everything that you want at that position. He will struggle at times like everybody. Brady's gone through some struggles, but guess what he does? He threw a pick in a Super Bowl last year for a touchdown. And I think that turned out, he was struggling the first half. How'd that 28-3 lead turn out for old Atlanta when Brady decided to not let my mechanics break down? They schemed for Brady. Everybody does every week. And guess who the MVP of the league is going to be? Tom Brady.
Yep.
So I'm not saying he's Brady, but he's learned from the best, and he's with one of the best quarterback teachers, play callers that we have in the league. It's a good situation to be in.
I know it's sacrilege to even bring this up, but is there any part of you that questions Bill Belichick trading Jimmy Garoppolo?
Sure.
Considering where Brady's at?
Sure. But here's Bill. And it's almost like he did Jimmy a favor.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to trade him to Cleveland, thank goodness for Jimmy. But you get to a point where it's like, okay, a second. You know, maybe he likes the Shanahan. I don't. You know, Bill's a grudge holder. If the Cleveland Browns hosed him at one point, he wouldn't have traded Garoppolo if they'd have given him a first rounder to Cleveland. I'm telling you right now, there's certain things that Bill, and you know, that's the same things that make him great are the same things that may drive people crazy about him. I love him, but yeah. But think about it. When he drafted Mallett, we'd say, why Mallett in the third round? Oh, okay. Now you're running him out. Well, Garoppolo, why are you drafting him? You got Brady. Oh, you got Garoppolo and Brady, and you draft Jacoby Brissett in the third round. Get rid of him. Get a player. And they'll draft somebody this year, and they'll use him as trade bait, or they'll play him. But, yeah, there's no doubt Bill knows if he'd have waited, he could have got more. But you know what? There comes a point in time when he felt it was the right time, and you can't question him. Think about all the moves he's made in the past. Every guy that he gets rid of, if it's a veteran, the timing's always right. He gets rid of him at the right time, knowing when. And I almost think this was a favor / Tom's not going anywhere. He's made a commitment. He's healthy. He's playing. He's having one of his best seasons other than the last couple weeks, and he's going to be the MVP at 40. Yeah, you know what? Jimmy's not going to see the field for a couple more years, and then we're going to face this off season. What do we do? What if we don't get what we want? We want to keep Tom's playing another year. Do we franchise him? We're going to be paying the backup more than the starter. So there you have it. he just it almost seems to me like he said, you know, Jimmy's been good to us. Let's get him as far away from us as possible to the NFC, and the only time I'll see him on a continuous basis is possibly in February, if that comes to fruition for San Francisco, because we're going to be there in New England. I mean, a second-round pick, Dave, you can get some average players for a second round. I mean, guys that turn out very average. You got a second-round pick for Jimmy. Like I said, right now, you're telling me if Garoppolo, he'd be the first pick of the draft. He's a guy that's going to make $20-plus million, and he won't have started a full season. It's frightening what Bill gave up. I mean, what he didn't get for him. But it's almost like Bill did Jimmy a favor. It was almost like it was like a hall pass trade.
Every week throughout the year, you get to hear our good friend Sean Salisbury break down everything. Football, baseball, basketball, movies. And I'm just thinking as we close out the year, Sean, and I always try to let you know, because it's true, how much, on behalf of the listeners, we appreciate you coming on and talking to each
other. Thank you.
And I know it is. And they know it is, too, because you're always so very humble about it. You know, one of these days, Sean, I'm telling you, I'm not your agent, but I'm thinking since we're coming in on New Year's and the late, great Dick Clark has passed, they got to get you hosting a New Year's Eve show is all I'm saying. I think that'd be a blast. Imagine
if they did it, I would have more fun than they've ever had on that show.
That'd be so great. Sean Salisbury's rocking New Year's Eve or something like that, man.
Dude, I would rock and I'd do more crazy ass stuff than they'd ever seen, but we'd have a blast. I'll tell you what, we may be freezing, but we'd have one hell of a good time. But I appreciate it, man. It's been a great year, and to everybody there, and the next time we'll talk, obviously, will be next week, but Happy New Year. You guys have been, I loved it. One of these times, I just got to come and do a week's worth of shows there when I take, honestly.
Yes.
I got to just do it from there so I can, you know, maybe we can go to a remote and I can meet people there. But
yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm always honored to be on. And as I close out, I will say this. I hope USC and Sam Darnold throw a party. I'm driving to the Cotton Bowl right now.
Ah.
I mean, I'm leaving from Houston. I'm going to see my sons and Christmas and gifts. And we're going to the Cotton Bowl and tailgating and watching my Trojans against Ohio State. And Sam Darnold tonight is going to solidify why he's going to be the humble first pick of the draft and will go change the Cleveland Browns franchise. How's that for your New Year's Eve prediction?
Look at that. Sean Salisbury staying true to his alma mater. We'll be watching the game, listening to you on the BN Sports Network. You can watch it on TV. You can listen to it on the radio as well. And follow Sean at Sean Unfiltered. Have a safe and fun weekend, Sean. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Take care. That's Sean Salisbury. We'll take a break. When we return, the guests on our 2017 The Drive Spectacular continue. Justin Jackson of your Sacramento Kings joins us next right here on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. That's some Justin Jackson highlights for you. Why? Because he's going to join us here. In about a minute, you're one of your many Sacramento Kings rookies. If you have questions you want to throw at Justin, text in 441140, or you can tweet me at @CarMichaelDave. Roar is right. Did we ever figure out if that was Jason or G-Man on that?
I have not figured it out.
I
think it's Jason, though.
I do too.
Can I? You've been dropping sound bites all day.
Yes.
Can I drop one from earlier this
Please
year?
Please do.
No way they go 1-31.
Poor Katie.
Katie fell into the trap that every NFL fan falls into at some point when they go, all right, this is the year the Browns finally start to figure it out.
It's about time. They're gonna figure it out. They can't suck forever. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's been crapping on Katie all morning, and she's not here to defend herself.
I like how we're like, yeah, we're going to play some sound bites, and it's all just Katie. Just
Katie bloopers, Katie predicting the Cleveland Browns would win 6 games. Did she specify this season, by the way?
No.
Ah.
So this is an evergreen prediction.
See, maybe that's going to come true next year. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, we told you about this yesterday. Hugh Jackson said, hey, if we're 1-15 again next year, this is last year, I'm going to jump into the lake. I like that he's doing it. And as I said yesterday, I sincerely hope that he involves a charity, something. You know, make it make it fun. Because honestly, you know, the Browns are 0-16, and as a head coach, you don't want to joke about it. But at the same time, he kept his word. And I like that. I think you should in a situation like that. Joining us right now, well, the rookies for your Sacramento Kings, coming off a huge win, dare I say, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, handing them their biggest loss since November and the biggest win point margin-wise for the Kings this entire season. From the University of North Carolina, it is Justin Jackson. Justin, it's Dave and Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. It's game day for you, and we appreciate you joining us. Just, is there any difference, other than shoot around and stuff like that, but is there any difference with you at home when it comes to a game day, as far as do you sleep extra? Do you eat differently? Do you do anything different at all?
Not really, just besides the fact I get to wake up next to my wife. Other than that, it's really just get up, go to shoot around, come back. I really don't have a true routine after shoot around yet. So I just come back, hang out with my wife, hang out with my dog, and do whatever else I need to do to get ready for the game.
I don't know if you can hear us okay, Justin. I'm having a weird problem with this connection. I can hear you. It's kind of echoey. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that's better. What a year for you. It was not that long ago. You're having a pretty good time at North Carolina. You run through the draft. You were starting, I believe, opening day for the Kings. You had a couple minutes down there in the G League. You're back up and contributing. Simple yet very complicated question. Is there anything you know now as we head into 2018 that you didn't know this time last year?
I don't know if there's anything that I didn't know. I think one thing is going to the G League. It's made me realize that I should never take any minute or anything for granted in life or on the court or anything. And those guys at the G League, they're grown just like we are. But the treatment that they get compared to what we get in the NBA is nowhere close. So I would probably say just to never take anything for granted. And whatever you do, you got to take advantage of it. It looks really hard.
I saw during the game one of the moments I enjoyed the most, and I forget which shot it was, but it was one of Vince Carter's insanely amazing shots, and it was a timeout. And you were right up in his face, rubbing his head, kind of half hugging him, and just kind of pumping him up. How surreal was that as a member of the team? You're a professional basketball player, but there's got to be a large part of you that is still a kid and still a fan to be able to congratulate Vince Carter to his face on what was an amazingly magical night the other night.
We joke around all the time. We have the team is just a bunch of characters. And so to see him, obviously he hadn't played a ton the past few games. And then for him to go out there and perform like that, it was pretty awesome. So for me, it was just, I was pretty hyped. I was just kind of, like you said, trying to pump him up and encourage him for sure.
Is it still surreal? Or are you over it now? I mean, obviously Vince is a teammate of yours. I'm sure you're a little more used to that. But that night, you're on the floor with three first ballot Hall of Famers. So you've got Vince Carter on your end, and you've got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James on the other. Has it worn off, or is it still a little bit surreal when you're checking some of those guys?
I'd probably say it's kind of worn off. That was the first time I played been a part of a game with LeBron and D-Wade, so maybe there was a little bit of it there. But once I got into the court, I got a foul called on me from Dwayne, and then I hit a three whenever D-Wade was guarding me. So, once I got onto the court, it's just kind of just playing. But obviously, when you take a step back, it's pretty amazing.
Now that we're getting close to halfway through the season, and I know I'm not going to ask you this question, you're going to rip what's your adopted hometown or anything, but how has the city treated you so far? Have you acclimated? I know you're a family guy. Have you picked out a favorite restaurant, a favorite place to hang out? Have you experienced at least a little bit of Sacramento yet?
Yeah, I love it. Me and my wife are, finding things that we like to do around the city, and just trying to continue to get connected and stuff like that. So I love it. I mean, there's not really a Sacramento food place that we've truly found to be our favorite. We love BJ's, and Buffalo Wild Wings. Those two places are two of our favorite places. Other than that, I mean, we love Sacramento. The fans have been great. So it's been a good time.
Are you a sushi guy at all?
Not really. Ah. I'm not a big sushi guy.
Because half the team ends up at Makuni. I'm surprised you haven't ended up there yet, but if you're not a sushi guy, I get it. One of the things when you were drafted, and I think it's interesting, and not to get too personal here, but I know you're a man of faith, and you're obviously a family man, and you've spoken to your family on more than one occasion here on the program. Unlike most rookies, they come in 18, 19, 20 years old. They're single. They're in a new place. They're experiencing life on the road full time, really for the very first time. How much does your family help ground you, and maybe in retrospect, even though you haven't experienced being a rookie as a single guy, but you mentioned being at home, you get to sleep next to your wife, you get that sense of normalcy. Do you feel like that kind of gives you a leg up in a sense where it does help keep home for you?
I think family is definitely big. My wife is definitely big for me. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm, that's made me and kept me completely grounded.
Sure.
I'm just like everybody else, make mistakes. I sin, everything like that. But my family definitely helps a lot. So when I go on road trips, I'm able to talk to them all the time. I'm able to call my wife all the time. So like you said, to try to keep myself grounded and try to keep myself focused on what's really important in my life. So I definitely say it helps a little bit.
Justin Jackson with us as we wrap up. You mentioned the quick G League stint for you earlier in the year. And I think maybe to a lot of, especially rookies, that would have been like a major blow to the confidence. And listen, I'm sure as a competitor, you want to start every game and play 35 minutes. But from what you've said and from what I've heard from your teammates and your coaches, you couldn't have handled that better as far as an opportunity to grow. And it seemed like you maintained a really good positive outlook. How was that experience? And really walk us through kind of, as you mentioned, making that into an opportunity rather than a letdown.
I'd be lying to you if I said it didn't make me upset whenever they told me initially that I was going to Reno. But I think that's how every basketball player is that really wants to be good. But once they told me that, whenever I might not be playing and then on the Kings or not playing as much, I try to just look at it from a positive perspective. I knew I was going to go down there and play minutes and finally get some reps. And so I just tried to stay focused on, being ready and trying to go out there and do what I can do. And like I said before, once I got down there, it was a very humbling experience. Having to fly, it sounds normal to y'all, but having to fly commercial and go through security, or the different types of hotels that we stay in, the G League compared to what we stay in the NBA. I mean, it's totally different. Once I came back up to the Kings, I told myself, okay, look, whatever type of minutes you get, you have to go extremely hard. Never take any other minutes for granted because they could easily be taken away. And for me, like you said before, my faith is huge. It was kind of, for me, I felt like it was a humbling experience, but it was from God. God was saying, look, I can take away all your talents. I can take away all the blessings that you have at any time. So for me now, anytime I get on the court, I try to go 100% because the gift that he's given me, I should be doing nothing but trying to make them better and go extremely hard with them. So it was a great experience. I try to keep a positive mindset. The guys are great down there in Reno. I love the coaches. I love the players. So that helped a little bit as well.
You know, wrapping up with Justin Jackson of your Sacramento Kings, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock start against the Suns right here on KHDK. You've played 25 NBA games. You got 5 starts in your belt. Play scout for a second. What does Justin Jackson need to work on most in the last two-thirds of the season?
There's a few things. I think shooting the ball the same way consistently. At times I kind of rush some shots. I think defensively trying to find ways to obviously get around the strength aspect. So just trying to outsmart, if I possibly can, the defender or the person that I'm guarding. And then, honestly, just, trying to continue to do what I can possibly do to help the team, whether that's, trying to rebound or whatever. But I say those two aspects are probably the two main things.
Hey Justin, I got a question for you, and I need your help because I think you'll probably be on my side here. We've had an ongoing discussion about the color baby blue in sports uniforms. I'm a big fan. Dave's not as big of a fan. I want your opinion on this.
How are you going to say that though? Because I went to a school that all we wore was exactly. What we call it, Carolina blue, but. I mean, I love that color.
Thank you.
Obviously, you can't have too much of it. Too much of it kind of gets overwhelming, but I love that color in uniforms or whatever you possibly need to wear with it.
It's just such a setup,
see,
Kyle.
I love it.
The guy went to North Carolina. Yeah, why don't you ask De'Aaron Fox about baby blue and see what
he said. That's definitely the complete opposite.
Good luck tonight. You've been on with us a few times this year. We always appreciate you. You're young, but your wisdom is beyond your years, and we always appreciate you giving us a little bit of color on your journey through your first NBA season. Have a blast tonight. Go Kings, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Justin. That's Justin Jackson. And woo, did we go over. He's a good kid. He really is. And I mean that with – I don't mean to call him kid and disrespectful. I mean, he's 22 years old. That's a kid to me, but – God, what a good head on his shoulders! I'm rooting for every single King, but I'm really rooting for him. He's a good dude. All right, so we're wrapping up here. We're gonna wrap up because we went way over with everything. We kind of threw the clock out the window. So we'll do a quick wrap up. Give me the exact countdown, Kyle, so I know because it is the last show of 2017.
We got to be out at 53.
Okay. So we got 50 seconds.
We can go a few seconds
all right.
over.
Well, listen. All I got. First off, I want to thank Sean Salisbury, Greg Giannotti, Justin Jackson for joining us. Kyle, as always, fantastic job. Well, as most of the time, fantastic job. And somebody
mediocre job.
We've been getting a lot of texts today at 44:11:40 since it is the last show of the year. A lot of texts saying, hey, thank you guys for making our mornings great. We listen to you. All the stuff that I can't get enough of. It's great. I love when people appreciate and enjoy the show because we do honestly try to put some work into it. However, I just had a Christmas where I got to buy my kids presents, just to put this in perspective and do things and pay my mortgage and all that. And I will never take for granted. It's because of you guys listening. You literally pay my bills and allow me and Kyle to come into the sandbox that KHDK gives us and talk about sports for 3 hours a day. That is a dream job. It's a job I've wanted my entire life. And I don't have that job. And Kyle doesn't have his job. None of us do. Without you guys tuning in each and every day. And I cannot say enough, and I don't think it gets said enough, how much I appreciate that.
Yeah, when I tell people, like when they say, I listen to the podcast or I listen today, when I say, man, I appreciate it, that's just because I don't have another word for it. Like, I mean, it
never take for granted.
Yeah, it's appreciated 100% every time.
That being said, and we said this earlier, want each and every one of you back on Tuesday. It is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day weekend. Have a blast. Please be safe. I told you, at Carmichael Dave on Twitter, if you're in town and you can't find yourself a ride, you don't have money for Uber, tweet me. I'm not drinking on New Year's Eve. I'll come pick you up. Everybody, please drive safe. Don't be a cautionary tale and have an absolute blast. See you later, 2017. We're back on Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your day on Sports 1140 KHDK.